Sadhu. So for anyone that's joining us for the first time, you may ask questions by raising your hand, or you may send them via chat. So Bhante, I received a question. It's a bit long, so bear with me here.
Right.
Yeah?
Yes, please go ahead.
Oh, okay. Dear Bhante, walking practice, I have noticed that the walking practice is not as enjoyable as the sitting practice for me. When I start the walking practice, it is very haphazard and lots of thoughts come. Boredom settles in pretty quickly as well as tiredness. After some time, the thoughts settle and the focus is more adjusted to the present. Boredom and tiredness is somewhat gone and I can focus on the walking. However, I notice that my walking pace also slows down, sometimes to a point that it almost stops and my mind goes to a blank state as in the sitting. But I restart the walking, acknowledging that this is the walking practice and not the sitting. It is a forceful step. Once the walking restarts, it is smooth and calming, but my attention is in the whole process of walking and not specifically to any part of the sole or foot. I can continue for 1 hour at a time. When I do a sitting session after the walking, it helps to settle the mind quickly at the sitting since the body is more energized and it is easier to get the focus onto the body. Hence, I use the walking as a pre-step to the sitting and I do not see any progress or any change in the walking practice over time. Please advise if my practice is correct. Any guidance is much appreciated with metta.
Yeah, I mean, it is good that if I can question the writer, if you can raise your hand if he is in this crowd, that is much better. So, anyway, I mean, what you are experiencing is quite valid, and what you have experienced in the sitting is now going to be available in the walking. Say in the sitting, so you are experiencing that sort of mind is not grasping anything and there is no thoughts and kind of a blank state. And similar thing can happen in the walking as well. So now when it happens, you should not force yourself to pay attention to what you are feeling or what you are experiencing. Rather, you should allow your mind in that non-grasping state. Because it may be difficult, actually, when you are sitting, the environment is fairly stable and you are not moving your body and you are closing your eyes. And therefore, what you experience is quite able to sustain for a while. Say you are able to maintain it for 30 minutes without any grasping, without associating anything. But when you are continuing a walking practice, you may be able to reach the same level, but you can't maintain it for a long time because mind go and grasp something very quickly. So actually at that time, the mindfulness will show you, okay, the fellow have gone and grasped something. And at that time, it's a matter of applying your insight knowledge, applying your wisdom and simply release the mind. So this grasping and showing it, or we recognizing that grasping and then applying wisdom and releasing it. So this is the most important part. Dwelling simply in this concentrated, say non-grasping state, simply has some sort of a peaceful abiding. But other than that, the cutting through of the defilements and the weakening of the defilements only happens when we understand during that walking session that the mind has grasped something and we got to release it. So that is the process, actually further diluting the defilements, further weakening the defilements and ultimately uprooting the defilements. So we have to allow mind to grasp if it requires to grasp, and then we are observing it, recognizing it, and then we simply letting it go so that we are again come back or returned back to the non-grasping. So therefore, as far as the question is mentioned, so I understood like you are able to do this and if you are able to do this in the walking session, that is much better. So if you didn't get the answer, you can raise your hand, then we can have a good conversation.
Thank you, Bhante. Then I'd like to invite Ratika to please ask your question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Bhante, I have a question, and first I want to thank you for your talk today. It was very relevant to me.
Right.
If I reach this state only if I'm at a retreat, in other words, when I have a longer meditation session and a very rigid or a very controlled environment, then I will get a very peaceful state, and maybe at the most what I see is the cessation, very rare this once, but or just one, only one factor is active. Say I'm with the breath only and all the others are not active. Or I'm with sound and all the others are not active. Now, I don't know what I did to get to this stage, but then when I come home and when I do it, a different thing, because of course I don't do that many meditations in a day. I will just do it for 1 hour, walking and sitting, maybe half an hour walking and 1 hour sitting. Then it gets very calm, but I will fall asleep. Or I don't know when I'm falling asleep, because sometimes I'm not, but it's very subtle, the breath is very subtle, very, very subtle. Then I don't feel it, and then I'm just there. But sometimes I can't remember what has happened. But before I can say, oh, I'm just with sound only, or I'm just with the breath, I can see that I'm only with the breath and I'm aware. So I start questioning, just like how you say, and trying to think what I did, what was the difference. So I'm doing that. So I know now that I shouldn't do that. But I'm not doing that in the middle of the meditation. I'm doing it after meditation. Now, why did I fall asleep? Or why did I go like this where I can't remember, where I'm not as alert? So what do you suggest that I do when I'm practicing for a lesser time as opposed to a longer time? But then I can remain there for a longer time.
So basically this represents a little weaker mindfulness, because you are able to attain some sort of a samadhi, mind becomes somewhat concentrated. At that time, the knowing part or the awakening part is less. As a result of that, you don't know what has happened. You are feeling like unconscious. So this represents the mindfulness is weaker. So best option I suggest is to improve further your walking path or walking practice, because walking really helps to further improve our mindfulness and again the clear comprehension. You are able to clearly know what is going on because your eyes are open and you are in a open environment. It is unlikely that you fall asleep. So therefore your mind is somewhat active. As a result of that, you can further refine your mindfulness, further refine your clear comprehension. So with that developed mindfulness and clear comprehension, you can come to the sitting session. So at that time, if you experience some sort of cessation or some sort of non-grasping kind of state, you may be able to maintain your attention there. Attention in the sense, you may be able to aware of that rather than falling asleep. Because, you know, our minds can keep awake when mind has some sort of agitation. So, say for example, when your eyes are watching a very adventurous movie, you can't sleep. When you are listening to some noisy music, then you can't sleep. You can't become drowsy. Your mind become agitated. So, likewise, all these gross kind of objects, sense impingements, make our mind quite active, agitated, excited, then we can't sleep. But on the other hand, when that corresponding objects are quite weaker, soft, and again quite soothing, probably there's a possibility that our mind can feel lethargic, feel drowsy, and then ultimately can fall asleep. Like a very soft music, very bored kind of a sight. So those are quite boring, and then mind go to sleep. Similarly, if there is nothing to grasp, if all the senses are quite, in a way we can say, inactive, and all the corresponding objects, sight, sound, smell, taste, tactile sensations and mental objects have faded away, then one possibility is that you might fall asleep. So in order to avoid that, actually we need to improve mindfulness. Mindfulness is this kind of refuge here. So we should have very subtle, refined kind of mindfulness. And mindfulness, we can say, is similar to awakefulness. So mind's awakened nature is determined by the level of mindfulness. So therefore, you better improve your walking session maybe to 1 hour. Then probably you can reduce, if you don't have enough time to continue 1 hour sitting session, probably you can reduce to that to half an hour. Because there the mind is more tense towards the concentration. But in the walking path, walking session, your mind is improving mindfulness and wisdom.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah.
Everyone's Sanai.
Okay, Bhante. The next question that I received, thank you for explaining Sankara. Could you also explain the difference between Sankara and Gati, as in Citta, Viti in Abhidhamma?
Sankara and Gati. What is the spelling mentioned, Jennifer?
For Gati, G-A-T-H-I.
Gati. I don't know what you really mean, Gati. So probably you are referring sort of traits then. So Gati, the kind of a Sinhala term is there. And again, a Pali term is also there. And probably one can say kind of traits, kind of trends in one's mind. So actually, trends or traits are very much like hidden, and they are latent, and they are being sort of latent does not mean that they are not there. They are available. But time to time, due to various conditions, due to various reasons, they pop up. They become active. So when they become active, we can say they manifest as different kinds of sankhara. Say, sankhara of vachi sankhara, that is verbal constructs, mind sankhara, or the what you call mental formations, like mano sankhara. Then bodily formations, that is the kaya sankhara. So the manifestation of traits, manifestation of latent tendencies, we can say as these three kinds of sankhara. Yeah, back to you.
Okay, you Bhante. So I'd like to invite Don to please ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Bhante, for your time on this time today. I like to say that I really have benefited this the series of the Prapancha talk, and it is together with my walking and sitting meditation. This has really helped this teaching of Prapancha for me to see. But I thought of sharing one experience that I had like on Monday.
Right.
Yes. I actually, out of my normal daily cycle, I had to attend a wedding of one of my close family member. And after the wedding, I realized like yesterday and today, even during my meditation, my mind is keep coming a lot of prapancha. And I'm still trying to live into that. Rather, my mind is like to going into that. Yeah. Then I realized, yeah, this is exactly the Dhamma talk today. I mean, our series that even though I can see that and I can also stop that, but nevertheless, I still saw a little difference in my mind going through prapancha than before. I just wanted to share that experience.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, this is what happened that when we are involved with sort of too much conversation, too much chattering, and that kind of involvement really further sort of, enhance or improves the papancha. So this, so then it is again difficult to calm down the mind because we, in that sense, we can understand the importance of the sense restraint. So that is why, say for example, when you attending to a retreat, then that is where the they are instructed that don't continue your conversations, don't talk, don't continue any kind of idle chattering, because that leads to reduce your attention, reduce your concentration, reduce your wisdom, mindfulness, and promotes prapancha. Because once you sit, what you memorize, what you hear, or what coming to the mind is what you have talked, what you have chattered with another person. So likewise, our behavior really matters on our practice. So if we are able to sort of maintain a conducive type of behavior, then it really helps. So your experience is quite valid, and when we are involved with too much discussions, when we are involved with too much idle chattering, so it really has a big influence on our practice. Yes.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you so much. I just wanted to share that.
Sure. Very good.
I believe that's the last question that's received, Bhante.
Okay. It seems that they are sympathetic to you because you have to sleep early. Okay. Then we have spent about 1 hour. And we have almost concluded several suttas discussing related to conceptual proliferation. So with that, we can then conclude today's sutta teaching session. We'll share all these merits with all the past away relatives, all celestial beings, and whoever in need of merits. Let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata camhehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata camhehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanang. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparang. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.